Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Endometriosis, Journey to Butterfly. I'm Latisha, now officially a two-time author, jewelry designer, endometriosis advocate, as well as empowerment speaker. In this week's episode, I'm thinking about my journey, honestly, and there are a couple different reasons why. First off, I'm thinking about my journey because my second book, She Is Well, just released last week. So excited. And honestly, just received my book in the mail yesterday. So excited. So it's like, so excited. Just happy, happy, happy moment. And not only that, I mean, I share my story in my book that came out in January as well, which is Women Inspiring Nations Volume 3, I'm Still Standing. So I have shared my story in both of the books. But it is Endometriosis Awareness Month as well, as Women's History Month. We did have International Women's Day. So we have all these amazing things about women and just the whole month to celebrate women, which is amazing, and to celebrate endometriosis. But one of the things is I have been talking more about endometriosis, of course, promoting the book. And honestly, it's something I feel like people have, some people do know about, but they don't know everything about it. And it's something that's still a mystery to people. But I've had some great conversations with people about endometriosis lately this month. One of the things I guess I really want to talk about is, we're going to get back into the book, but one of the things that's on my mind right this minute is just time. Time. I just can't get past the time. It takes an average of 8 to 10 years for women to get diagnosed. That is a long time. Like, how old are the women? I'm gonna assume that you're probably in your childbearing age, more than likely. You may or may not have children, and you're having all of these issues. Just all of the doctor visits you go through, all of the different specialists you have to go through, just the whole ordeal and what it, just no one talks about what the toll is on you mentally. You go to the doctor may or may not believe you that there's something wrong with you. If they do believe you, then medication is your first, you know, your first option. But then how long do you stay on the medication? How long do they put you on the medication? If this medication doesn't work, what is the next step? They try another medication. So you're on a never-ending cycle of medication. If we can get you for testing, then we send you on a never-ending cycle of testing, which is not really going to find endometriosis, because the only way to diagnose it is through a laparoscopic procedure. So doing all these tests, wasting all this time, spending all this money, all of this, just the whole gamut of things, is not really helping, because you're really not gonna figure out what is going on if you can't see it in, if you can't see it in the test. So you're doing all this testing and going to all these doctors. They are not finding anything wrong with you, because the test is not showing anything, because those tests aren't going to show endometriosis. Just because the test doesn't show it, or they think you don't have it, does not mean that's the case. You could have every test, all the different tests do not show every disease. And some diseases cannot be detected on the test. You could take every test there is, and it still probably would not show if you have endometriosis, even if you do. So, I just am just so heartbroken over the amount of time it takes to get diagnosed. I mean, I think about my diagnosis. I officially got diagnosed after 14 years. That is a long time. Now, that is 14 years from a doctor saying they think I have it. That's not... Now, I have had issues with my period and everything since I started my period. So, I could have had endometriosis a lot longer. That's just the first time that a doctor said, you know, brought up the word. So, it could be longer than 14 years. 14 years is just what I know from when the doctor mentioned it to when I was officially diagnosed. Now, honestly, it probably is longer than that because I had issues before that. I just happened to get to that doctor in that year, and he told me that. That doesn't mean that I didn't have it before. So who knows how long I've had it. So honestly, it could have been a longer wait than 14 years for me. But I just think about all of the wasted time, wasted energy, just wasted time you can never get back. I mean, 14 years is a long time, right in your childbearing, and honestly, not to have anyone really truly understand what you're going through, I feel like is just like the hardest part. Who truly understands what you're going through? That is probably one of the things that keeps me motivated, honestly, to keep doing it down, to keep having me do all of this, a podcast, books, all of that, speaking, is to know that I can help someone else not go 14 years, not have to give up on their dreams of, you know, having a family, being married, all of those things, because they have endometriosis. Not feeling like they are the only ones that have it. Feeling like they're never going to find an answer. It's just so frustrating. Honestly, one of my favorite things is to have a conversation with a fellow endo sister and be able to talk to someone who understands. Who understands the struggle, who understands what it's like, who understands how hard the road is, how long it takes, what the sacrifices are. I can't talk to you about everything about endometriosis. I can share some of the things with it, but some of it is just, you can't explain it. So I will explain what I can, but I mean, there's sometimes that you can't explain it. And that makes it hard for other people if you can't explain how you're feeling, but sometimes you cannot put in the words. Or you can put in the words, but it's not really helpful. If I'm in pain and feel like my right ovary, for example, is gonna bust, I can put that in the words, but I can't really explain how painful that is. And, you know, your ovary busting is very, very painful, which is, you know, that type of intensity and pain is what sent me to the ER, which is the only reason I feel like I got diagnosed with endometriosis. But, you know, you explain it. If I say that, you know, people will be like, well, get a heating pad or do this or do that. And it's like, the heating pad's not really going to help my ovary. You know, I appreciate your concern and all of this, but sometimes we just keep things to ourselves because people don't understand and they come up with suggestions and the suggestions really don't work, or it's something you have tried or you know it just doesn't work. And you just don't want to be in a never-ending cycle of arguing or talking about it or anything like that. It's just very frustrating, time consuming, and just not, you know, it's just counterproductive. So this time, just how much, you know, time, I can't sit here and tell you the amount of time that I have spent trying to figure out about my endometriosis for years. You know, we talk about 14 years is just a thing. Let's talk about still trying to get things done after that, and probably having, and then having issues and all of that before then. So we talk about not just 14 years, but probably over 20 years at least of all the times you go to the doctor and just sit there, and then they're like, we can't find anything wrong with you, but you know there is something wrong with you because you're in pain and you know it's not normal. We need to stop trying to normalize pain. Pain on your period, painful sex, painful bowel movements, painful urination. None of that is normal. It's not. So, you know, having cramps, all of that. Let's stop with normalizing pain for women. It's not normal to have that. And let's make it where you don't feel bad if you're in pain. Like, you're not afraid to tell someone you're in pain. Because women, it seems like we have to be so strong all the time. Like, pain, you've got a shock. You've got a high pain tolerance. So you have to take it. Whatever pain it is, you can't complain. You have to go about your life. Do whatever it is you have to do. And then just, like, not let it get to you. I'm here to tell you, first off, did not have a high pain tolerance. I feel like my pain tolerance has grown over the years just based on all of the tests and all of the stuff. But I would say, honestly, probably my pain tolerance has grown a lot probably the last few years probably. I feel like it probably gets better every year. But it just seems like we as endo people have so much pain constantly sometimes that we're just expected to just take it and not, you know, not take time for ourselves, not lay down, not do anything. There are days where my endo flares up and I just have to take a break. I'm sorry, whatever it is, but I'm gonna need to go lay down and rest. I can't do it anymore. My body's telling me I need to rest. I need to relax. And that's another thing, is we need to listen to our bodies. Our bodies will tell us how they feel. If your body is telling you you need a break, please take that break. Is it easy to take a break? Of course it's not. Will other people be mad about this and that? Of course they will. Of course they will be mad that you decided to put yourself first and what you wanted and not their needs and all of that. But when it comes down to it, your health is what's important. You need to make sure that you're doing what's best for you and your health and your well-being. Endometriosis does not have a cure. There is no fix for it. You can take some medication. Maybe it will, maybe it won't work. And what are the side effects? Some of the medicines they prescribe for the women, oh my gosh, the side effects are just wow. and they still prescribe it. And the thing is, you know what the side effects are on some level, because women keep talking about how horrible the medicine made them feel. I know that the doctors have to have gotten feedback about the medication, how it made women feel. In the endometriosis groups I'm in, they talk about constantly about the medication. There are a couple they talk about and how horrible it made them feel. And you want to know something? That is, the doctors will still tell you those medicines and prescribe them to act like there's nothing wrong with them. Nothing is wrong with them. I don't know if I share this or not, but I went to a new gynecologist. Well, I know I shared that part. I went to a new gynecologist in January, and I wanted to switch and all of that. And again, first thing out of her mouth is, I should be on medication. There's medication that can help you for your endo. There's medication that can help you. Okay, so the same medication that all these women complain about and say it's horrible, that's the medication you're going to put me on. And so I honestly said, I really don't want to go on that medication. I've heard some bad things about it. And, I mentioned one of their side effects. And basically, she basically blew me off with that side effect. And talked about, if you're pregnant, you have the same side effect. So the medication causes bone loss. Bone loss can cause osteoporosis. Osteoporosis, you have, fragile bones, could be more prone to broken bones, all of that. Just not something that, you want to honestly take a medication that causes that. Yes, unfortunately, some people do have osteoporosis, and that is, I feel my heart goes out to them. I'm sure that's not easy to deal with. I'm not trying to take a medication that causes that. That is a side effect of the medication, which means people may or may not get it. Yes, but that is one of the major things that a lot of people are complaining about, is bone loss. And it's not so much that you, it's not so much that the doctor came back with the response, it's more what the response was. Her response basically is, you lose the same amount of bone in pregnancy. Come again? Really? You are trying so hard to sell this medication that now you're just like, you have bone loss with pregnancy too? I'm like, really? Okay. We're talking about two completely different things. So why would you even bring that up? And that's just one, that's just one example of things you've got to deal with when you go to the doctor. Sometimes it's just ridiculous in terms of going to the doctor. And just some of the things you've got to deal with and put up with. It's just very, very frustrating. And needless to say, I will not be going back to that gynecologist. I'm still in the hunt for a new gynecologist. And honestly, I feel like she knew that I wasn't going back there because she made a comment about in case you come back or if you come back or something along that line. So even she knew that it was a bad visit. It was horrible. I feel like she was, and I know I talked about it in another episode, she was late. Late. No apology about, I apologize for being late, I'm running behind. Nada. And the thing is, my appointment was at 9:30 in the morning. So you're running way behind. You're running 45 minutes behind already. The least you can do, I feel like, is apologize for wasting someone else's time. Yes, you are a doctor, but everyone's time is valuable. I could have been doing other things. I could have been, you know, doing business transactions. I could have been doing anything. I could have been, you know, doing a whole bunch of things as opposed to waiting 45 minutes for you. And I have to come early to fill out paperwork because it's new patient paperwork. We've got to fill that out. So I'm like at your office a good hour, 15 minutes early, and you are late. So there you go. And it's just a matter of, I understand, you know, things happen, but I feel like an apology goes a long way. You know, I apologize for keeping you waiting. I appreciate you waiting for me. I apologize that I'm running behind. Something. You know, I feel like that's part of the reason sometimes we don't get the care per se that we need, or we don't speak up, I guess, to get the care that we need, is because we feel like some other people are more important than we are, and we're scared to speak up to them. And, I mean, it's all part of what I speak about advocating for yourself. But it's just common courtesy to me to just, you know, be like, I apologize, I'm running behind, this and that. Because, honestly, if you don't, I feel like that makes the patient more upset, which is frustrating as well. So, I just sit here and think about, just a waste of time. As my story comes out and people read it, I really don't talk about all of the background, background and going into various doctors, getting tests. That's something I need to put in my own book, honestly, that I need to write. It's just, if I feel like I would be sick to my stomach if I sat here and calculated all of the hours that I've lost due to endometriosis over the years. And we never talk about what the effect is. How do we feel? What is the effect mentally? We talk about how you can feel physically, but we never talk about mentally what it's like to have endometriosis. What does it feel like? What do you think? How do you feel? It's just, first thing I'm going to say about how do you feel? Lonely. It's lonely. Most people do not know about endometriosis. So it's lonely in terms of you don't really have anyone to talk to, anywhere to turn to. That's what I love about these Facebook groups that I found them. And then I love just following endo people, period. But you really don't have anyone to talk to, which is really, really why I want to do endometriosis coaching. Because I feel like you need someone to talk to. Who can you talk to about these things? I mean, your friends and family, they may or may not understand. It's just hard. Your doctor is trying to get you in and out, so they're not really trying to talk to you about it. I mean, it's just hard. There are just so many emotions, so many feelings, so many thoughts. You can't keep them all bottled up inside forever. The longer it goes on, the more thoughts you have, and the more it builds up. But the first thing I would say is the past is lonely, which I feel like endometriosis counseling can really help that, because I have endo. I know what you're going through. You can talk to me. I will understand. Having someone talk to you is so important. And then also we can devise a plan to make sure you don't go down the same road I do. Okay? I'm hoping it does not take you 14 years to get diagnosed. You know, I apologize that you have to deal with endometriosis, period. But let's try to get it diagnose and not take 14 years so we can figure out what we need to do to get it resolved. If that's medication for you, that's medication. If it's holistic, it's holistic. Let's make a plan. Let's get at it. Let's talk about nutrition. Let's talk about the whole gamut of things. Let's talk about things you need to know about endometriosis that no one ever told you. Let's research it together and talk about things and find out more. Let's find out why it's one of the most painful diseases, but it's one of the diseases that is funded the least. We have the least research about it. Let's talk about all those things. Let's talk about how endometriosis just affects females or people with female anatomy, and it does not affect males. How about that? Let's talk about that. 1 in 10. And let's talk about how, for the most part, we need to educate men about endometriosis because they really don't know much about it. And it's something I feel like they need to know. 1 in 10 have it. So chances are they're going to run across somebody at some point, if not more than one, that has it. And you need to know you need to understand it. You need to know how to respond. And first of all, you need to just honestly not be a jerk about it, is really what it comes down to. That's just one of the things that's in the endometriosis, is if you just, I feel like, you know, problems in general, I feel like guys are just not that, understanding, whatever. Like, I don't need you to have sympathy for me, but I do need you to understand what it is. And when I say that I'm having a flare-up of this, that, or the other, I need you to understand that and not, you know, say whatever you're going to say. Normally something insensitive is normally what the comments are. And it's like, you don't need that. When you're not feeling well, the last thing you want is someone who's insensitive. That's just my current take. And I've had talks, you know, with other people about it, and that is just my thing. I feel like we need to educate. We also need to educate the men about it. No, they don't have the disease, but chances are they're going to know someone. I mean, their mom could have it, their sister, their aunt, their girlfriend, fiance, wife, best friend, you know, anybody could have it. Cousin, we need to make them, you know, aware of it. And I have, you know, I had a conversation with someone about it, and I was like, you know, I'm all for educating people, you know, that I can, but it's like, I can't educate everybody. That would just be impossible for me. So we need to have the hard conversation. Is it easy to talk to a guy about having endometriosis? Of course it's not. Is he going to understand? Probably not. Are you going to have to say a lot? Yeah, we're going to have to break it down for him. Is it going to be frustrating? Probably. Time consuming? It's going to be all of those things. But at the end of the day, you want to know that you have explained it to someone, and they understand a little more about it. So if you say, I'm not feeling well today, or I'm having a flare-up, or this or that, they can kind of have reference to it. So if I'm having a flare-up today, then know that I'm probably not going to want to do anything or go anywhere. So be respectful of that. Otherwise, you know, they'll be like, well, I don't understand why you don't feel well. You wanted to go somewhere yesterday, but today you don't, and da-da-da. And honestly, another thing is, we know with endo and stuff, physically you change. Endo belly, come on now. some days it looks like you're pregnant. Today is one of those days for me. Honestly, I feel like I've had the I look pregnant endo belly. I feel like I've been having that going on for a while. So there's inflammation. Of course, there's always going to be some inflammation. I try to keep things down, you know, to eat, exercise, you know, I try to keep inflammation down where I can, you know, eat healthier, exercise, different things like that. But I mean, endometriosis and inflammation is still there. So, you want to try to explain that. What if, you know, you don't, and one day, you know, you see your friend, you know, it could be anybody. I mean, we need to educate anybody. I said, guys, since they don't have it, so they don't understand. But, you know, there's some women who don't understand either. So, I mean, it's all about kind of explaining your situation to people. And yes, it's private, but on some level, people need to know so they don't say insensitive, rude, hurtful things. So, I'm having a flare. Obviously, I'm having endo belly. I've been having endo belly for a while. I don't know the exact day, but I've been having it for a while. So, honestly, I do look pregnant. So, there could be some insensitive, uninformed people who come up to me and be like, oh, are you pregnant? What do you do? Da, da, da. It could be, you know, it could be people you know, people you don't know. If, you know, and depending on how you feel about that situation or all of that, you know, that could be a touchy and bad situation. I hate when people say that to me. Honestly, I feel like it's very rude and very disrespectful. And I feel like you don't come to somebody and say that to them unless you know for a fact that they're pregnant. Don't just assume. So, I mean, that's just one of the things that, you know, you have to deal with in terms of that. And honestly, I feel like I've had, on some level, I feel like I've had endo belly for, I mean, overall, I feel like I've had endo belly for some years. It's probably, I should have known something's wrong, where I just have different times where I just look pregnant. And I know there are, you know, insensitive people who want to sit there and be like, oh, so it's either you're fat or it's you're pregnant. And neither one, you know, are very nice things to say to people, especially if you don't know what's going on with them. So it's like, it's inflammation, you know, not necessarily that I'm fat. In terms of that, I'm not pregnant. So, let's, you know, be nicer to each other. And not always try to be rude or be this or be that. I mean, honestly, there's no reason for you to comment, period. Honestly, you know, someone else's appearance or all of that. There's no reason at all to comment on that. But when you have endometriosis, sometimes, you know, there are different factors that go into that. So, I just feel like we need to educate. Hopefully people will become more educated and not say some of these things that can be frustrating for us. And that is just how I'm feeling about waste of time, education, all of that. One of the other things I was going to talk about, which I did kind of but didn't, was the book launch. So the book launch for She Is Well, Power, Strength, Wellness was amazing. So that was last week. It was an amazing time. We had a summit as well, so I got to do a little speaking. I got to speak a little bit about my chapter, which is amazing. Love my chapter. So excited to have gotten the physical book yesterday. and just was over the moon about it. What I am looking forward to most is people reading my story. Reading my story is really what I'm looking forward to. Educating people on endometriosis. Giving them tips on how to advocate for themselves. There is no better feeling than knowing that you can help other people. And that is exactly why I do what I do. It's to help other people. So, now that this book is out, it's so exciting. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, I've been busy working on, you know, trying to promote the book. I'm still going to be busy working on promoting the book. Now I have two books to promote and trying to do different events and all of that. So, that is one of the things that I am still working on. And, you know, my website's down below. I would love it if you would support me and purchase one or both of the books. And I feel like you're going to find out some more information. I do, you know, I talk about my journey and all of that, but I feel like in the book I'm able to be more in-depth and kind of share different insights and things that I may or may not have said on here. But just to know that your story can help someone else is just a great feeling. Also, to do a book, you know, you have to examine yourself and see. It's a very personal story. Endometriosis is very personal. So I'm sharing personal things, you know, all of that. So it's just a whole new thing, but I'm really excited about this book, excited about both my books. I can't believe I have two books out in 2021. First quarter, it's amazing. It's just a great feeling, and knowing that people are going to read my story and it'll resonate with them or educate them or both is just an amazing feeling, and I'm so thankful to have my story. Honestly, my story is cemented and permanently in ink, in a book. So own your story. My story is my story, but I can't ever not speak up about it. I can't go into hiding about it. My story is in two books, international books that are, you know, sold to people all over by all the co-authors, including myself. You know, hopefully they read all the stories and do all of their research. But your story is something that you should not be ashamed of. You should be able to share it with people if you want to. And by the same token, if you don't want to share, you shouldn't have to. I wasn't forced to share my story. I wanted to get my story out to help other women, because I feel like I wish I would have had someone's story to read. I wish I would have had a book. I wish I would have had a podcast. I wish I would have had endometriosis counseling. I wish I would have had somebody who knew about endometriosis that I could talk to when the doctor first told me about endometriosis all those years ago. Even now, I mean, there are times that you wish you had someone to talk to about it. Just all the different things that you go to, because endometriosis is something that is common, but it's not common. Like, a lot of women have it. 1 in 10. But a lot don't share, so you don't know all who the 1 in 10 is. And not everyone has the same experience, nor does everyone want to talk about their experience. So I feel like it's good to have a culture where you're able to talk about your experience and what you've gone through, which is exactly why I have this podcast. it stirred up for me to share my thoughts and feelings. Because that's honestly what it was. It was honestly going to be a way for me to basically get out my emotions, feelings on what I'm feeling post-op while I was healing. But I did not, at the time, want to write. I didn't want to write all of it down. So I just said I was going to record it, and I was just going to, it was basically just going to be a journal for me. How are things progressing post-op? How am I feeling? What am I doing? What are my thoughts? All that. So basically, it's just going to be a personal, you know, like, voice, I guess you could call it, vocal journal for me. Then I decided to turn it into a podcast where other people could hear. That wasn't the original plan. The original plan was just for me to have somewhere for me to talk about my feelings and how I'm feeling, instead of having to talk to my friends and family all the time and them not understanding. So I just wanted something, you know, where I could let out my feelings and emotions. With that other, I mean, I journaled some too, I should say, when I was doing my, you know, post-op healing and all of that. I did do some journaling as well, but there's some days, as you know, after you have a laparoscopic procedure, you're not feeling well and you're tired, so some days it was just easier to talk, aka do the podcast, than it was to write. Because it's just sometimes you just, I mean, I wrote as well, but sometimes you just don't want to write all of that. It's easier to speak your emotions. So that is actually how the podcast came to be. So, I mean, everything, I feel like everything has been birthed from my struggle with endometriosis. And it's all birthed within the last year and a half or so. So from me officially getting diagnosed and needing surgery, it has taught me about advocating for yourself, which led, you know, to me speaking, becoming a speaker, talking about advocating for yourself. So that led me to be a speaker. Also led me to this podcast, so led me to be a podcast host. And then just wanting to share my story more, and honestly, it was to more increase education and awareness about endometriosis, and the best way to do that was by sharing my story. So now it's ventured out into becoming an author. So your story has impact. Your story can change lives. Your story can do a whole bunch of things. You know, I'm just trying to help other women. That is just my main goal. Help others that have endometriosis, which is anyone who has female anatomy. That is my goal. And my other goal is to educate everyone, whether it be men, women, both, all of that. Education and awareness about endometriosis. We need a cure. We need people to understand. The numbers are not going down, so more people can have it. It's just something we need to do more about. And Endometriosis Awareness Month, you know, is a great time to think about it. You know, I know people have been posting stats. I posted some stats as well about different endometriosis figures and stats and all of this. But also, I just feel like, which is good, you know, it's a good thing. I feel like at this point, more celebrities and different people are coming out saying they have endometriosis. So I feel like more people are starting to talk about it, which is good, which can only bring more awareness to the cause and hopefully put us closer to a cure, which is really what it's all about. I'm kind of sad that Endometriosis Awareness Month, Women's History Month, is coming to a close. Some amazing things have happened during this month. So thankful this March has been a good one. We are still, unfortunately, in the pandemic, and we are Oh my gosh, it's been a year. That takes a toll as well, as along with everything else and endometriosis. So I can't believe it's been a year. March. Like, this March and last March are just completely different. In terms of everything. Like, last March, everything was shutting down. And it seems like this March, everything's opening up. So it's just a complete 360 turn. One of the biggest things I guess I've learned, I don't know if it really has to do with the pandemic or just in general, taking time for yourself. Self-care is so important. Even if self-care is taking a nap, self-care could be not doing anything. It could be anything. I mean, one of my favorite things to do sometimes is just to relax and not do anything. I love that. I mean, I enjoy that naps. You know, if I can get a nap in, I like a nap. I'm gonna like the whole, you know, there are a lot of things. And if you can get a bath, you know, that's amazing. Take an extra long shower, just whatever you can get in, you know. Still waiting on some self-care, you know, things I still want to do. I still need a massage, honestly, it's a self-care thing that I want to do. Also, when things get a little better, you know, still want to get a mani-pedi, you know, just all those different things that we do that we enjoy, going to the chiropractor, just different things like that. Just whatever your self-care is and whatever helps you with your body and helps you have less pain, all of this. Even self-care, honestly, at this point, self-care can be making sure you take your vitamins. Sometimes things are so rushed. Did you remember to take your vitamins that you needed to? I mean, maybe that could be self-care. I have a friend who, you know, makes time to have tea. You know, if that's your thing, whatever it is that makes you happy, do that. It doesn't have to be something expensive. It doesn't have to be, you know, anything big. It could be whatever makes you happy. You know, maybe self-care for you is catching up with a friend. You know, mental health. Mental health is so important too. I feel like we don't, like I shared earlier, we don't get to talk about our feelings, how we feel with endometriosis. No one ever asks us. They ask us, yeah, how do you feel? As in, how do you feel? And we answer probably physically. We don't ever talk about mentally. We don't talk about we're tired, we're frustrated, we're fed up, we're having a hard day, we're having a hard week. We don't talk about it's stressful. We just don't talk about any of those things. But as always, I'm blessed to have you guys listen to me and see my podcast grow. That was one of the things. My podcast has grown so much. So I thank you all. That's the pandemic. I hope that you are resonating and learning things from this podcast. Please reach out to me. My email's in there. If you have suggestions, comments, whatever, I'd love to hear from you. Also, the website for the books in there. All of that. And just, I'll be doing more amazing things this year. Just more speaking engagements. If you ever have a speaking engagement that you would like me to come talk about endometriosis, doesn't matter, big, small, virtual, in person, reach out to me, just email me, let me know. I love speaking. If you're interested in coaching and me being your endometriosis coach, again, email me, reach out to me. That's my email address is down there, and then the link. And I just look forward to connecting more, doing more things, educating, bringing more awareness, and hopefully working towards finding that cure. The pandemic has changed so many things, but I know it's a little bit endometriosis month, but a lot of places had some webinars on endometriosis last weekend, which was very interesting, and love seeing them getting the information out, talking to, you know, talking to women like myself who have a story to share, as well as talking to doctors and other experts. So they had a wide variety of people. So I enjoy seeing that. And I just feel like we're going in the right direction in terms of education, getting our voices out there, and doing what we need to do. So, I thank you again for listening to me. I do want to urge you to please educate someone about endometriosis if they don't know. If you don't want to have the conversation with them, then, you know, direct them here to this website or direct them to this podcast. I mean, have them reach out to me. If you don't want to explain it, just have them do something. And as always, we're at the end of our show. I appreciate you so, so much. My listeners all across the world, love you guys. I keep showing up because you guys keep showing up for me. Really appreciate it. So our next episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly will be on Saturday, April 10th. 12:45 Central Standard Time. Again, thank you so much for listening. If you ever have questions, comments, concerns, please email me. I'm just happy to be here. Still so excited to be a two-time author. And I'm just ready, honestly, to get back into speaking and educating about endometriosis. And sad that Endometriosis Awareness Month is almost over, but glad that I get to talk about endometriosis all the time. So please take care of yourself, be safe out there, stay hydrated with everything going on, and just please, more importantly, please take care of yourself. Do some self-care. Do something for yourself today, physically and mentally. Your body will thank you for it. Until next time, this is Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly with Leticia.